Yeah, I don't know if that doesn't get you hyped, I don't know what will. Praise God for a good report. Praise God for protecting the team and for good fruit that could both be seen right now and hopefully even more so fruit that we will see in eternity as well. And so missions is important. Thank you for supporting. I remember the day, the Sunday morning where we commissioned them off. The team was here and I asked who will pray for them. If you will pray for them, stand. And man, we had a lot of people standing up. So I am convinced that the reason why they had a successful trip is because we stood and we committed to praying for them each and every day. We can't do anything in any eternal significance in the except through the power of prayer. So praise the Lord for that. Well, as I'm thinking about getting excited about things, there's this thing that is happening during this month. It's kind of crazy. Some people call it madness, but it's basketball, just so if, okay. And it's just not the same. It's just not quite the same because there's just not the crowds. Somebody free throw, the crowd's going, ooh, you know, that's not there. And it just doesn't have the same level of energy. And so it's good that we can realize that in a sporting event, if people aren't there, it just doesn't feel the same. And if that's the case, then a church service aren't there, it just doesn't feel the same, does it? So I'm glad for technology. Thank you for those that can join us online and those that are having to stay away because of medical conditions and different things like that. Praise God that you can still virtually join us. But you all, boy, is it good to have each of you together here today. Am I going in and out? Do I need to use a handheld? All right, we'll do that.
How's that? Okay, good. All right, it sounds a lot different, doesn't it now? Wow. Okay, well, if you've been following along this month of March, we've been working through a little mini-series. We took a break from the book of Ephesians, and we've been walking through, and the focus of the month of March has been others. We want to grow, but we want to grow out. And so that first week of March, we looked and we explored how we need to be praying and supporting the persecuted church, knowing that we ourselves, we're not experiencing great persecution. It may come, but what can we do right here, right now, not only to prepare ourselves, but also to support those that are literally dying for the sake of the gospel across the world? And so the answer is we need to be praying for them. Last week, we talked about how we ought to be missionaries wherever we are. The importance of missions, and we just heard it this morning, how missions are so important, but also we don't need to get on a plane and go to the darkest corners of the world. We can just be a missionary here in our own backyard, at our work, maybe even for some of us at our own home, in our friends groups, whatever it is, we need to be missionaries. So we're encouraging each other to take every opportunity that we have. And today, we are kind of carrying on that theme, but if you've noticed, all of our songs this morning, they've been about God, as they should be. Amen? And so what we're going to talk about today is about our God. And the hope for the day, we're going to look at two different passages today, and the hope is that as we focus on Jesus, and as we can truly magnify him and see how great he is, in the midst of that, hopefully, we'll walk out of here this morning with a greater and deeper appreciation for who Jesus is, and that will inspire us, that will encourage us, that greater appreciation of who Jesus is will cause us to want to share him with each and every person that we meet and see. And so, we are going to begin this journey this morning in Exodus. Gotta do this now. I got the handheld. But we're going to be in Exodus chapter 12, okay? And so in Exodus chapter 12, this is the institution of the Passover. And the reason why we're looking at this is for multiple reasons. The first reason is because Jesus is walking to Jerusalem, Jesus is walking to his crucifixion. And if we're in keeping with the theme of the season, Easter is right around the corner. And really, Easter should be known as Resurrection Sunday. But before there's a Resurrection Sunday, there has to be a Good Friday. And that is when Jesus goes to the cross and dies on our behalf. And I do encourage you to come out to our Good Friday service as we reflect on all that Jesus has done for us. And especially come out to Easter, where we celebrate the fact that he is alive. And because he's alive, that changes everything, doesn't it? And so before we get there, though, we need to understand that Jesus, he does celebrate the Passover with his disciples just a few days before he goes to the cross. And so I wanted us to take a few moments and understand what the Passover is, why the Passover was something that Jesus and his disciples were celebrating, were remembering, and how the Passover is an incomplete picture of what Jesus fully came to do. So in Exodus chapter 12, we're looking, and we'll start at verse 1. But just to give you context here, the Israelites are in Egypt. They are in slavery. They are in bondage. And it is so clear that they need salvation. We look at the book of Exodus and just the name itself, Exodus. They are exiting Egypt. And it's the story of how God is breaking them free and they are being able to exit and go into the promised land. But really, the book could be named Salvation because we see God's salvation time and time and time again throughout this book. And if you're familiar at all with the story, we understand that God is using Moses to speak to Pharaoh, and there's all these plagues. Got the mic thing. We'll work on that. So God is using Moses to bring about these plagues, and each of these plagues, I don't have time to go into it today, but each of these plagues are actually an attack on an Egyptian god. Each of these attacks on an Egyptian god is proving that our God, the one true God, Yahweh, is superior in each and every single way to every one of the idols that the Egyptians have. And then we get to this last plague, this last thing, and unfortunately, there is death involved. And in this last plague, there is going to be the firstborn of every household will die. And we look at that, and it's uncomfortable, especially in our 21st century minds. That is something that is very uncomfortable for us to deal with because we are supposed to like life. We are supposed to be pro-life. We are supposed to be anti-death in every single way. And so for us to understand that God is bringing about judgment, it's a difficult thing for us. It's certainly not something that we would cheer on. It's certainly not something that we would say, yeah, God, get them. Hopefully we wouldn't say that. But we recognize that in the midst of this, God is doing just that. He is bringing about judgment because he is a just God. God justly and correctly provides judgment. And that is the story of who our God is. If he is just, then he must carry out judgment. And he is the only one that is able and privileged enough to carry out judgment. But in the midst of the judgment that God is carrying out, he provides a way of escape. God provides salvation. In the midst of the judgment that is deserved, not just by the Egyptians, by the way, by everyone, the Israelites included, just in the midst of God providing that judgment that everyone deserves, God provides a way for them to find salvation. Let me begin here in verse 1 of chapter 12. It says this, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be for you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for the household, and if the house is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take accordingly to the number of persons according to which you can eat and shall make your account for the lamb.'" God is not just saying this is something that only those that can afford to make a sacrifice can do. This is something that everyone can and ought to do. Let's skip down to verse 7. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they shall eat it. As we continue on, we realize, going into the later part of the chapter, we understand and we realize that in verse 10, and you shall not let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it with your belts fashioned and your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. God is saying salvation is come. Get ready to move. Get ready to get up out of Egypt. For verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So you understand what's happening, you catching what's going on. God is saying there is judgment coming. And this judgment is not going to make any distinction. Man and beast, Egypt, Israel, it's going to hit everybody. Judgment is coming, but I'm providing a way out. I'm providing salvation. And in the midst of God providing salvation, there is a bit of faith that needs to happen. There's some faith that is required. In faith, the Israelites have to make a sacrifice and take the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorpost. And God, when he sees the blood on their doorpost, he passes over them, and they are saved. That's why we got the word Passover. It's pretty neat how we look at that and we think, wow, well, couldn't God just, you know, look at their hearts and say, well, they would have been willing to kill the lamb. They would have been willing to do this. They would have been willing to ruin their paint and put blood on their doors. They would have been willing to do this. So I'll just look at their hearts and I'll just go from there. Could he? Sure, he could have. But I think it's important for each and every one of us to recognize that our faith requires action. And in the midst of God calling the Israelites to have faith and therefore have action, putting these blood on the doorpost, it's a sign not only for them to know that their only hope is in God and God alone, but it's also a sign for the Lord to understand that they are willing to do what he has asked. So just because God provides judgment doesn't mean that God doesn't also provide salvation. That's what we see right here. But then let's skip down to verse 14. It says this, this day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. And then going down to verse 21, then Moses called to all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select a lamb for yourselves according to the clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood and then in its basin and touch the lintel, the doorpost, with the blood on its basin. None of you shall go out of the door of the house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house to strike you. Verse 26, it says this, and when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, and he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. There's an element here that we have to recognize that it is good to remember what God has done. God says this is going to be a statute, this is going to be a feast, this is going to be a thing that you do throughout all generations forever. You got to do this thing. You got to remember this day. You got to remember that time that I passed over, that I provided you salvation from Egypt. And then Moses, when he's talking to the elders, he says, when your children ask, why are we doing this thing? You need to turn to them and say, because God saved us. It's good to remember what God has done. And I think that's important that we take services, we take time like Good Friday and Easter, that we reflect and remember what God has done. Just like the people of Israel, every single year they celebrated Passover so that they could remember what God has done. And it's no coincidence that Jesus, right before his time of death, was up there in the upper room with the disciples. They were meeting together and they were celebrating Passover because they could remember what God has done, so that they could take that time and reflect on God's salvation. But there's this really neat passage in Hebrews, and that's where we're going to go next. Hebrews chapter 9, where we recognize that Jesus is the Passover lamb. We recognize that Jesus is a greater, more complete, more perfect, spotless Passover lamb. He is the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the full completion of what God was trying to do back in Exodus with the Israelites. So here we see the fact that the judgment came in Exodus, but God provided salvation. And then when we come into modern day times, we recognize that there is judgment for sin. In Romans, we read that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We also read that the wages of sin is death. Judgment is required. But in the midst of that judgment, God still provides salvation. And his name is Jesus. Let's read right here, starting in verse 11. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of creation, he created once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For the bloods of goats and bulls and the sprinkling and of defiled persons and the ashes of the heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ? If you didn't catch that, basically the writer of Hebrews just said, if in the old way, in the old covenant, in the old times, if the blood of animals did something to purify us, how much more will the blood of the Son of God be able to purify us of our sins? How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from their transgressions. Jesus is a better and more complete Passover lamb. So in the Old Testament, we get this faint picture of what is to come, and Jesus comes on the scene, and he's living in and performing miracles and just doing incredible things, and people keep saying, when will you establish your kingdom? When will you come and throw off the yoke of the Romans? It's so easy for us to understand that now, right? It's so easy for us to understand that in the Old Testament, the Israelites were looking for a Savior to come. They were looking for some sort of salvation that would free them from the Egyptians, this physical threat, this physical oppression that they were dealing with. And then Jesus arrives on the scene, and where does their mind go again? To the physical, to what's right in front of them. Okay, God provided salvation from the Egyptians. Now God is going to provide salvation from the Romans. God is going to provide us physical salvation again. But every time that someone would ask him, when are you going to set up your kingdom? When are you going to do this thing? Jesus would respond, my time has not yet come. Then he's together celebrating the Passover with the disciples, and he says, my time, the hour has now come. Jesus is saying it's no longer about this physical threat. It's no longer about a physical salvation. It's about something that is much more better than that. It's about something that's much more deeper than that. It's about a need that you have that many of you don't even realize that you actually have. It is the spiritual salvation of your souls that Jesus is providing. Jesus is the more complete, more perfect Passover lamb. And I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. I don't know about you, but it just invigorates me as I think about my God knowing not only what I need physically, but also knowing what I need spiritually, even when I don't know it. How many of you truthfully would say before God, on your own, you would have come to him? If God didn't show up in your life and completely wreck you, you would have just been like, yeah, this church thing sounds really great. I want to get together and sing and listen to that guy talk. Yeah, that sounds awesome. How many of you in your pre-Christian state would have said, yeah, I'm all in on that. I want it. Sorry. But God wrecked me. God completely changed me. I was overwhelmed by the love that Jesus had for me. That love that he had that he would be willing to lay down his life because of me. Because he loved me. Because he wanted to provide for my spiritual salvation. Because he wanted to give me something bigger and better than I could ever imagine. And so just like God provided salvation in Egypt, God is now providing salvation to the world. And Jesus being that better, more complete sacrifice. It's like we're looking in the mirror in the Old Testament. We're looking in the mirror, and then we got some Windex, and we sprayed it on, and we wiped it clear, and we can see even more clearly. We can see the picture of Jesus standing there offering salvation. And that's incredible. But as I said at the beginning here, as we think about just who Jesus is, as we understand just how great he is, the whole book of Hebrews, it just drives home that point that Jesus is better. We also read that passage in chapter 9. We also read that he is a mediator between us and God. And I want to remind you right now that you have something very special. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you have Jesus as your mediator. You have Jesus right now sitting at the right hand of God, sitting right next to the Father. And every time that you sin, Jesus is turning to him and he is saying, I died for that. My blood covers that. In Egypt, the blood of the lamb covered the doorpost and judgment passed over them. Right now, in heaven, when you sin, the blood of the lamb covers you, and judgment can pass over you. Wow. Thank you, God. There's no other position that we must take other than thank you, God. I don't deserve this. You ever been given a really, really good gift? I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I receive a gift that is just, wow, mind-boggling. Years back, we were early married. We were early in ministry. Someone gave us a car. I was like, wow, this is sweet. A car. I don't have to worry about transportation anymore. And I found myself treating those people that gave us that a little bit differently. If they asked, hey, you want to come over and help me with something? I was like, yeah, I got to. You gave me a car, right? If they would ask me, you know, if I would go to, when I was at the grocery store, if I'd pick up something, yeah, you gave me a car. Hey, you want to go out to eat? You know what? Why don't you come over here and I'll make dinner for you? You gave me a car. And it got to a point where I needed to step away from that. It got to the point where I realized my thankfulness had actually started to ruin my relationship with them because I was no longer viewing them as who they were. I was viewing them as the giver of this good gift, and I almost felt that sense of compulsion. I almost got that feeling like I don't really want to go and help you rake your leaves, but you gave me a car, I don't really want to sit here and listen to the story that you told me four times already. But I'll nod my head and smile and be like, wow, that's so cool because you gave me a car. And so it took me literally just breaking myself of that thought process and going to them and admitting what I had done wrong. Admitting that I had started to view them not as my friends, not as a relationship, not as good people. I had started viewing them almost with contempt. He gave me a car, so I gotta do it. And it took me getting to that place and humbly asking for their forgiveness. And then our relationship was able to grow. We were able to be good, close friends, and there wasn't this car between us. And I don't want us, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, I don't want us to fall into that trap. God has given us eternal life because he wants to have relationship with us. That's what eternal life means, being with God. If we're not with God, then we are eternally dead. So God wants to have relationship with us, but if we come to church, because he gave me salvation, we drop some money in the box, because, you know, like, he did that great thing. If we listen to the pastor drone on and on, you know, because I got to do that, that's the Christian thing to do, wow, we are missing something, aren't we? We're really off, aren't we? No, God, you gave me salvation. My life is yours. Lord, you have given me everything. I want to spend time with you. I don't have to read the Bible because God has given me salvation. I want to read the Bible because I want to know my Lord better. I don't have to pray because it's just the right thing to do. I want to pray because my God is that great, and I just can't wait to spend time with him. And as we understand just who Jesus is, as we understand this great Passover lamb that we have, that ought to, in the same way that we want to live for him, it ought to inspire us, motivate us, energize us to talk about him with everybody that we see. We have to get to that point where we are recognizing Jesus is so great. It would be a crime for me not to talk about how great he is. There's certain people that I know that are sports fans of the same sports teams that I like, and if my team does well, then I just have to talk to them about it. Just today, saw a guy wearing a Wisconsin shirt, and I said, hey, game today, yeah, because we're excited, because we have that in common, because we want to encourage each other and we want to talk about what is in our hearts. Are we excited about Jesus? If he's in our heart, don't we want to talk about him? If he really is this better, more perfect, great Passover lamb, then shouldn't our love for him just overflow? Shouldn't we have to have people tell us, okay, just calm down on that Jesus stuff? Like, that would be great, wouldn't it? It would. Somebody said to you, all right, you talk about Jesus a whole lot, maybe just turn it down a little bit. That would probably be the highest compliment that somebody could give us, isn't it? We have a great, great Savior. We need to talk about him. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And you may be sitting here and you're like, okay, this message sounds familiar. Yeah, it does. You may be sitting here and you may be thinking, okay, yeah, I know that Jesus is great. I know I don't need to talk about him. But how am I supposed to get through this day? How am I supposed to face tomorrow? Give me some application, Pastor. Please don't call me Pastor. You can just call me Josh. Come on, give me the secret. Talk about Jesus. You get to know him. You love him more. It's that simple. There isn't some magic combination. There isn't something that you just need to just, oh, if you can just unlock this, then you can have a perfect, happy life. You're still going to have struggles. Today is still going to be tough. Tomorrow still might be unbearable, but you get to know Jesus more and more, and you talk about him, and you don't shut up about him, and guess what? He does the work in your life. He changes things. You grow in him, and wow, does he do a great work in you. That's the application. Cling to Jesus. Talk about Jesus. It's as simple as that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time that you've given us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for showing us, both in Exodus and in Hebrews, just a greater appreciation of who Jesus is, a greater appreciation that he is the complete, ultimate Passover lamb. Lord, help us to love him more. Help us to talk about him more. Let us appreciate just this great salvation that you've given us more and more each day, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.